We invite you to take your Bibles and open them to John chapter 4. We're going to be reading the first 26 verses. John chapter 4, 1 through 26. I praise God for faithful mothers. Faithful mothers who love God, love their husbands, love their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and the future generations. Willing to invest in their lives sacrificially. One thing we all have in common. In this building, we all have a mother. Every person has a mother since Adam and Eve. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Satan hates God. Satan hates anything created in God's image. And he instigates a redefinition of marriage, gender, male, and female into an alphabet of options. But one thing cannot be changed. Everyone has a mother by God's design. And we today are celebrating Mother's Day, something God created. Praise Him. John chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were going away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence, then, hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, but is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. For those who are able, we invite you to kneel as we pray.
Morning, I too greet each one of you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I too wish each mother here a happy Mother's Day. My thoughts have been on mothers this week, but moreover, my thoughts have been on women in general that have had an influence on my life. The women that have poured their life into my life, and how thankful I am that God sent them. I had a self-sacrificing mother. She gave a lot for her children. I had two grandmothers that taught me unconditional love. I had a Sunday school teacher that taught me about the love of Jesus. I have a wife that teaches me every day what faithful love is. And the list can go on and on. Women in our lives. And my mind went this week as I was thinking of that, about women that were in the life of Jesus. That's what we'd like to look at this morning. See what we can draw from the women that were in the life of Jesus. The first one I'd like to look at, if you'd like, turn into Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Women in the life of Jesus. This first group is not just one woman, but a number of women, not just one woman, but a number of women that we'd like to look at here. In Luke chapter 8, begin reading at verse 1. And it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many other which ministered unto him of their substance. Here we find Jesus on a tour through Galilee. He's preaching, he's teaching, he's telling everyone the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has with him, his 12 disciples were with him. They were all working hard at God's work. But behind the scenes, there were women. Three are called out here in this section: Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna. It says here these women ministered unto him of their substance. Here we see women who ministered to the ministers. We would think, and probably so, that some of these at least were wealthy women. They were women that devoted their money to the missionary cause and the cause of preaching the gospel. But I believe also they probably not only served with their money, they served with their love, they served with their time, they served with their devotion. The women here in this audience today serve the same way. It's hard sometimes for women that are in the background to get the notice perhaps that they deserve. But I tell each one of you, thank you for your service. Thank you for your deeds of love, your deeds of kindness, from the mothers who sit up all night with sick children. You've come through a rough winter. Many of you had to have sickness in your family week after week. To the grandmothers who helped with babysitting, to older sisters here that set godly examples, to those of you who write notes of encouragement, to those of you who sacrifice time through prayer. And there are just so many ways needs are met by faithful women. Jesus here experienced his needs. He experienced being ministered to by faithful women. And so do we. And I encourage each one of you this morning to keep up the good work. You know, if your energy runs out, if you become a little too discouraged, maybe you think it's too hard, too much to do, I'd encourage you to remember that the source of your energy, the source of your abounding love and your ability to minister is found in your Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. The women here in this scripture served Christ because they loved him. Because they loved him. It says here they were forgiven. They were healed of sins. They had experienced the life-saving presence of Jesus Christ. And that life-saving presence came out in their service to him. It was a beautiful picture. Because they experienced the love of Jesus Christ, they were able to love others. You know, that beautiful picture, have another example of it happened immediately prior to this in Luke 7. If you want to turn there, Luke 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet before him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them down with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Here was a woman, which was a sinner, that experienced Jesus' love. And she was able to love in return because of that. Take up reading again at verse 44. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. O women here today, the source of your love has to be in remembering how much you've been forgiven of. The source of your love has to be in Jesus Christ. May God bless you this morning for your selfless act of love. Keep pressing on. The second account is, if you turn to John chapter 12, another woman in Jesus' life. It's very similar in many ways to the one I just read. And I think perhaps it's one of the most beautiful passages in all of Scripture. John chapter 12. Here we see another woman with a heart of love and devotion for her Lord and Savior. John chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at table with him. Then took Mary a pound of oil of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. How persistent was that odor? I don't know. Could Jesus still smell it when he was in the garden that week? Could he still smell the love of the ointment that Mary had? Could Jesus still smell the odor when he was on trial for his life? Could Jesus still smell the odor that week hanging on the cross? I don't know. I don't know how persistent it was. But certainly, if he didn't smell the odor, he remembered Mary's love. In the account in Matthew 26, the same account, as we read it, Jesus says, she has poured ointment on my body, and she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done it, be told of for a memorial for her. Jesus remembered, and all down through the ages, people remember the love of Mary. And to each one of you, I'd like to encourage you with that thought, the odor of love. It is remembered. Your selfless act of devotion, it's remembered. Maybe not today. Maybe you don't get a thank you today, but it'll be remembered. We'll never know, perhaps, all the great blessings of our selfless acts of devotion, but they could last a long time. The odor can fill the room. They may go unnoticed, unappreciated, but down the road, over the years, during the hard times of life, during the difficult times of life, they might be remembered. So, sisters, today, I tell you, press on in acts of devotion. You'll never know the long range, the lasting effects of your selfless act of love. Third woman I'd like to look at in Jesus' life is the account that Brother Ken read in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, I had asked Brother Ken to read it just so you would be reminded of the account. It's a long account. Many sermons have been preached on it. There's many things we could say. But I want to draw your attention to one phrase that Brother Ken did not read. We had him quit at verse 26, and I'd like to pick up at verse 27 of John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 27. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, "What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her?" And the woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, "Come, see a man which told me all the things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ?" That one phrase there, "and she left her water pot," struck me. She left off her daily duties and went to tell others about Jesus Christ. Were there cattle, were there livestock at home waiting for the water, thirsty? I don't know. Were there men and children at home waiting for the water for some reason? Thirsty family members? I don't know. But certainly the woman, after spending time with Jesus Christ, laid aside her water pot for a few minutes, and went and told others about Jesus Christ. She had heard the good news. She had witnessed the living water. It's been explained to her. And she left her water pot. I'd like to challenge you, sisters. Perhaps there's times in life you need to lay aside busy schedules, the work that you've laid out for the day and plans for the day, and focus just a few moments on Jesus Christ. Are you making time for Jesus Christ in your life? I know you're busy. I know there are appointments. I know the children are demanding. I know you have cleaning and cooking to do. I understand all that. I really do. But perhaps there's time that you should leave your water pots for just a few minutes and focus on your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Spend some time with him. You know, Mary's sister Martha comes to mind, doesn't it? If you'd like to turn to Luke 10. Luke 10. Verse 38. I love Martha, not only my wife Martha, but this Martha in Scripture. She's my kind of woman. She gets things done. She's organized. She's practical. But yet Martha here in Scripture also had a problem, didn't she? We know, though, that at her heart, she was right. We remember at the death of her brother, her great testimony, she said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, whom shall come into the world. Martha had it right. But she had a problem. And their problem comes out here in Luke chapter 10. It says, verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about with much serving. Martha was cumbered about with much serving. But her weakness, you see, in her struggle for this godly woman, that her temptation was to be caught up in her schedule and making sure everything was just perfect. Just perfect. What about you, sister? Are you so focused on your day-to-day life that you miss perhaps some of the sweetest moments in life spent at the feet of Jesus? Are you so busy that you aren't willing to lay your water pot aside to tell others, to serve others? Martha and I had a neighbor. She was probably the most efficient homemaker I ever knew. She was right on it. Her house was spotless all the time. She served 3 meals a day, balanced, nutritious meal. She cleaned, she canned, she cooked, she did it all. On Mondays, her wash was on the line. She was efficient, but she also knew how to help others. You can be both. You can be both. She scheduled time every week into her schedule to be available for young mothers. And one day we had need of her in our home. One day Martha miscarried and we lost our fourth child. I was on the road. Took me hours to get home. It was she that took Martha to the hospital and waited till I got there. What she had planned for that day, I don't know. I don't know if she left her vacuuming lay, if she pushed her canner off the stove, if she left the wash on the line. I don't know. But I do know that she left her water pot . Will you? Will you make time in your busy life, like this woman at the well, and willingly give your time and attention, spend time at the feet of Jesus, and to be willing to serve others? The fourth woman I'd like to speak about is the woman caught in adultery, found in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Again, it's another familiar account. John chapter 8, verse 3. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have accused him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground, as though he had heard them not. And when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. And he stooped down and wrote on the ground again. and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Here was a woman, guilty of sin, of a terrible sin, the sin of adultery, guilty of sin and deserving death. And she knew it. She knew it. She knew it in her mind. She knew it in her heart. Yet did she get condemnation from Jesus? She didn't. She repented of her sins and experienced her sins being forgiven, her guilt removed, and her burden lifted by the only one that can do it. He's the only one that can lift your burden today. He's the only one that can remove the guilt and forgive your sins. Sisters, if you're here today and you're struggling with sin in your life, Jesus Christ is the answer. You need not struggle in the guilt and in the burden of sin. The answer is Jesus Christ. In Him you will find no condemnation. When you turn to Him in repentance, you only find love. There was another woman who had another problem. In Luke chapter 8, another account you know well was a woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians and neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. She reached out in faith and touched the border, the hem, or the tassels of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood was staunched. She looked everywhere for relief. She spent all her money searching for the answer. And here it was, right before her, and nothing was going to stop her. The crowd didn't stop her. Embarrassment didn't stop her. She reached out to the only one that could heal her. If she could just but touch the fringe of his garment. What's holding you back this morning from reaching out to Jesus Christ? The fifth woman I'd like to look at, if you turn to John 2. John 2 is the mother of Jesus. There's a lot to say, or could be said, about Mary, the mother of Jesus. But I'd just like to point out one of the things here that's not often mentioned about Mary. John 2. Verse 1, in the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, and this is what I want you to see. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. You know, there's not much in Scripture, I don't think, about the words of Mary. We read a little about her words there at the conception of Jesus. But whenever Mary is recorded in Scripture about speaking, she's always lifting Jesus up. She's not drawing attention to herself. And here Mary lifts him up, and she says, whatever he says, do it. I encourage you, sisters, this morning, whatever Jesus says to you, do it. Whatever he says in his word, do it. Listen to him. Read his word. Spend time with him. And then do it. God, in a cloud on the Mount of Transfiguration, said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him means do it. Scripture tells us that the demons and the devils listen to Jesus and do what he says. Scripture tells us that the winds and the waves listen to Jesus and do what he says. Do we, the highest of his creation, listen to Jesus and do what he says? Good advice for each of us coming here from the mouth of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Listen to him and do what he tells you. Lastly, the sixth is in Matthew 27. Matthew 27. I'd like to begin reading at verse 55, Matthew 27, verse 55. We're back here to the same group of women, in essence, that we started out with. Same group of women that were ministering unto Jesus in the beginning of his ministry, supporting him with their money, their prayers, their faithfulness. Here we are, same group of women at the end of Jesus' life. Matthew 27, 55. And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. These women were faithful. These women were faithful. These women were courageous. They were there in the beginning, and they were there at the end. Many in the life of Jesus, both men and women, couldn't say that. For many, the road was too hard, Scripture tells us, and they turned back. For many, the path was too narrow, and they gave up and they turned back. Many refused to die to themselves, and they gave up and they turned back. But here were a group of women that never turned back. They were faithful. It lists them again, Mary Magdalene. Mary, the mother of James, that would be James, the son of Alphaeus, I believe. And the mother of James and John, Zebedee's children. We also know from Scripture that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there at the cross. They ministered to Jesus in the beginning. They ministered to Jesus over all these couple of years. And they ministered to Jesus at the time of his burial. They were there when he died. They watched his body taken to the tomb. They were faithful. And their reward for their faithfulness was to see a resurrected Lord. They were the first to look upon the resurrected Jesus Christ. Sisters, take courage this morning. You can be faithful. You can be faithful. Even though all around you turn back, you can go on. You can go on with Jesus Christ. What really struck me was that two of these women listed here were mothers of disciples. Mary, the mother of James. James, the son of Alphaeus. He was a disciple. Was he there with Jesus? It's not recorded that he was. The other mother, son of James and John. John's recorded being there at the cross, but James isn't. Their children ran and hid and turned back for a short time. But the mothers didn't. The mothers didn't. They pressed on. Perhaps one of the hardest things in life for a mother or a father is to have to endure the unfaithfulness of their children. Children that turn back, that don't embrace the faith. And perhaps every one of us here has family members that have done that. Perhaps everyone in this auditorium are hurt, have hurting hearts because of that in one way or the other. Take courage from these women here to press on in the faith. Here were women that started with Jesus. They committed to him. They pressed on in faithfulness. They were there in the good times. They were there in the bad times. And there came a day where they were rewarded when they got to see their Savior face to face. I encourage you, sisters, you women here this morning, press on in the faith. And God bless you.
Please stand for prayer.